Blog Talk Radio.
Friday night at the pajama party. We're here. I'm Papa Didi, Emery Kettle.
Hello.
And Red Wine.
Bonsoir, darling.
And this is what we do on Friday nights. Bring you the scoop on what's happening. All the crap that the networks don't tell you. Okay?
Mm-hmm. They tell you the truth.
We're going to keep it real, keep it live. Kettle, you want to give us the rundown on what's happening tonight?
Okay. All right. Right into it, huh, Papa?
Yeah, right into it.
Okay.
Let's go.
Right.
Let's go.
I know that's right. How's everybody doing?
Excellent.
I'm okay. Good.
Excelente?
Excelente.
Remember
that Spanish? Oh, yes, I do remember that.
Just put day at the everything. I think that's English.
Mm-hmm.
As we say in Paris, bon bon.
Bonbon.
Oh, that's what you heard. Right?
Okay.
Red wine.
Bonsoir.
Red wine, just how are you and that French guy doing?
Bonbon.
Bonbon?
Bonbon.
Isn't he the one where you said it has a 13-inch weed
whacker?
I never
said any such thing.
Yes. He's
because
got a guy with a 13-inch
anyway,
weed whacker.
Let us move on.
We're going to go to Red Wine segment called I'm Just Saying.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Go and do your thing, Red Wine.
All right. So tonight, I'm just saying, how much homework is really needed? Let's talk about homework.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, there was a mother who posted an open letter on Facebook this week complaining about the amount of homework that her 10-year-old daughter gets on the average weeknight. She said that her daughter was starting to have chest pains from the stress of trying to get all this homework done, and that her daughter was now starting to wake up in the middle of the night worried about assignments and stuff that she might not have finished, and, you know, it's just unnecessary stress. So this pushed the mom over the edge, and she decided to inform the daughter's teachers about the situation. So basically, she sent a letter to these teachers and said, this is just to inform you that we're done with homework. Done. It's too much. She doesn't need all that. It eats up all of our family time, et cetera. So she basically said, I'm going to drastically reduce the amount of homework that my daughter does. But she said she was being polite because what she meant by drastically reduced is she's not doing it. It's just done. So she said that her daughter is in school all day, like what, 9 to 3, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then she has to come home, and she's got 2 and 3 hours of homework to do.
Mm-hmm.
Then by the time you eat dinner, around about 6 o'clock or so, then you got to go get your bath, get your clothes ironed, laid out for the next day of school, and go to bed. When do you have time for family to sit down with your kids and find out how was your day, what's going on in your life, et cetera? She was saying that there's just no more time for that because she's sitting there with her head buried in those books and on the computer trying to get this homework done right up until dinner and right up until bedtime. And she basically said she was done with that. It's too much. So I agree. I'm just saying, how much homework is really needed? Now, I guess you can tell I'm on the mom's side with this because those homework assignments can get totally ridiculous. And for the feedback that the teachers give you, you know, you sit up there and these kids are up for hours at a time trying to get an assignment done, and then the teacher puts a check mark on it.
Mm.
Like, okay, I saw it. And you're like, are you serious? This kid has busted their butt for like 5 and 6 hours to pull this together, and you're going to put a check mark on it? So what were they supposed to learn from that? That you just read it, assuming you read it? This is bull. Why are you giving them all this work if you don't have time to really review it and critique it to the point where they can learn something from this whole exercise? If it's fruitless, why do it? Teachers are already underpaid. There's not enough time in the day for the teachers to do what they need to do. And then you load these kids up with all this homework, and then when they turn all this stuff in, when are the teachers supposed to review all this and check it? On their own time now? So now the teacher doesn't have a life. The kid doesn't have a life. The kid's parents don't have a life with their kid. Who's being served in this? This is ridiculous. I'm just saying, how much homework is really needed? You know, there's a big difference between busy work and assignments that are really going to enlighten a person. And I can speak from my own perspectives of being in school again. I have professors that give us assignments, taking online classes, and all you get is an acknowledgement of, okay, I'll give you a 85 on that. I have no idea what was right, what was wrong. You know, they just give you a number, give you a score, and then they give you some more assignments to do. This doesn't make sense. I don't feel like I'm really learning anything. All I'm doing is checking boxes to say I did it. I turned it in on time, and now you say you graded it. I don't know if you really, really looked it over because I can't dispute what you said. And as for this 10-year-old child, she's spending all this time every day stressing herself out. The child's going to end up on medication at the rate she's going, dealing with all this homework. It's ridiculous. So this mom said that, hey, if the school has a problem with it, she will take her child out of the school and homeschool her child. So I applaud her for saying she's not going to deal with the crazy anymore.
Right now.
You know, and the thing is, I'm not talking about if you have an assignment for homework where you're supposed to write the definition of 10 words for a 10-year-old. That shouldn't take 2 and 3 hours. If your 10-year-old is taking 2 hours to define 10 words, it's because either they don't understand or because they really don't want to do it. That's a totally different situation from when you have a project that's taking you 2, 3, 4 hours every night to try to do. And I think part of the problem is that the teachers don't coordinate with each other. When you have multiple teachers, those teachers are focused on what their curriculum is for their class. They don't know what's going on in somebody else's class, so they're piling up stuff, work on the kid, and then another teacher is piling up work on the kid. So then when the kid gets home and you ask them as a parent, well, what kind of homework do you have? They're like, well, I got to write a paper for English. I got a history project. I got a science fair project I got to do. And you're looking at them like, are you kidding me? When is all this due? Oh, I have 3 days to get all this done. Really? These kids are kids. They're not equipped to handle this level of stress, and these teachers need to recognize that. So I'm just saying how much homework is really needed. They're in class all day. If they don't get it by then, are they really going to get it by sitting up, stressing out for a couple of hours every night? Give these kids a break. I'm not saying make them soft, but I'm just saying don't just give them busy work. If you're not going to really, as the teacher, if you're not going to really review it and critique it to the point that when you give it back to them, they can really see, oh, my punctuation was not right, or my usage of language was wrong, or I didn't explain something correctly. If you're not going to tell them that, if you're just going to put a check mark on it to say, okay, you turned it in on time, then there's no point in having them do all that. So that's all I'm saying. This is Red Wine, and I'm just saying how much homework is really, really required. These kids don't need that level of stress. That's all I'm saying.
But you know, Red Wine, I tell you, listening to your segment right there, and for people that are in school, going to school, or what have you, that segment could have went in a lot of different directions.
Mm-hmm.
Because you almost have to look at the school curriculum almost like the music industry. You know, like, who wrote that song anyway? Who's given the assignments? Are the assignments are the assignments of the students being given to the teachers, or the teachers come up with their own assignments?
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
We need to discuss that for a minute, because I think we need to understand, when these kids are in school learning, who's actually issuing the material for them to learn? I mean, because
you're right.
See,
it's generally the state-approved curriculum.
Sometimes when I sit outside during the day and I see kids cutting class, you know, You know, sometimes when I'm feeling ambitious, I'll call one of the young people over and say, excuse me, let me. I tell them, I hope that you're not cutting math class or science, you know. I mean, you can cut maybe some white history or something, you know. Something really has no significance. It's probably lies anyway. But I hope you're not cutting, you know, your science class or your math class, because these are the two aspects of the of life that you're always going to have to understand. You know, math, which is computed in everything you do, and science, which is all about the different changes in the demographics of the world. Science could be just as close as looking to see what color your piss is, so to speak. Excuse me, I'm in therapy. I didn't mean to say that. But anyway, you know, and I say it in a joking manner, but I think that the teachers are caught behind a rock and a hard place when they come to school and they have no power, and Joe, Dr. such and such, is issuing the curriculum down to the teacher, and the teacher is actually smarter than Dr. such and such, because, you know, most of these people walk around because they have a title on their name, especially when it comes to, I'm not saying doctor of medicine or dentistry, but doctor of anything else.
Right, PhD.
You know, PhDs, so thank you, Ridwan.
Mm-hmm.
PhDs. You never should think that you are the sharpest knife in the drawer, because you don't use one knife for everything.
Well, I think part of the problem is that these curriculums, at least in the public schools, are state-approved, and I think
exactly.
They're county, if you're in a county, county-approved.
But who issues
and,
it?
And they go, well, it comes down from the state, from the Board of Education.
Now, but what I'm saying,
and
right?
The Board
I understand,
of Education
I understand all that.
Decided that this is the curriculum that we're going with.
But once it's fulfilled, who does it go back to?
I don't think it goes back
if
to anybody.
One more thing too: if you're out there listening to us and you have a question on this, you want to comment on this, you know, if you're listening by phone already, just press 1. You'll be put in the queue, and you can comment on this particular situation. I think it's a very deep subject. Because you got to realize that what are these kids doing when it comes to their particular subject? And I think the teachers, in most cases, are scared to death. They're underpaid. You know, they just want to get done their day.
They're overworked.
They're parenting.
And then you're giving them all this homework, and then they have to take all that stuff home and grade it on their time because there's no time during the school day
but
to grade all that.
But is it to appease the teacher or to appease the state?
It's to appease the state.
Well, see, in that point,
because
the
curriculum says, this is what we do. This is how we do it.
At this point, the teacher is not even in the loop.
Let me just say this. They have some. They do have some flexibility, but not much. So when you ask a question like this mother posed and said, why do they have this level of homework? Well, that's because by the time you add up the math teacher's homework, the science teacher's homework,
mm-hmm.
the English teacher, the social studies teacher, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
just those four right there. If each of those assignments takes this kid roughly, let's say, a half hour to do, that's already 2 hours right there.
When all this stuff gets
and that's
the
if they're
room.
Just right on it. Now, they've been doing this for 6 hours all day long.
Right.
Now you send them home, and they got to take another 2 to 3 hours to deal
mm-hmm.
with this.
But some schools, they do have different times that they see their teacher. Like you may see your English teacher Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to see them 5 days a week.
Right.
And then another subject, math, you may see her, you know, a different time.
Thursday.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
But still, they give you the homework, and it has to be turned in, you know, certain time.
Yeah.
Next time that they see them. So the kids do have time to do the homework. My thing is you just have to be disciplined to do it.
I just feel like it's beyond discipline. I think when it gets to the point where, like this mother was saying, her daughter is
no
starting
life.
To get chest pains,
no life.
Stressed out, waking up in the middle
she
of the night
life.
With bad nerves and all of this stuff because she's so focused on, oh, my gosh, I got to wake up early. Let me set my clock for 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
so I can study for this test this morning because I didn't have time yesterday because I had an English project to do. You know, and it all just compiles.
Right.
And I'm just concerned that these kids are going to end up on medication
right.
just to deal with a nervous condition, or either they feel like they're such a failure.
Wow.
You start to get to the point where you feel like, what's the point in trying because all I'm going to do is fail. I bust my butt, done all I could, and I still got a D.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you start feeling like, F it. I ain't going to keep doing this to myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to study. I'm not going to do this homework. I ain't doing none of it. I'll barely show up. They're going to fail me anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the point?
Exactly.
And I think that's when people start opting out of the whole system, saying, it's no point. The cards are stacked against me.
Right.
So why keep banging my head on
the wall?
So you're
going to school now, Redwine?
I am in school now.
Okay. So actually, this
and
is
it's very difficult.
This is actually your story, but you just put the kids in there.
No, I'm talking about this mom
own,
who posted
your
her
therapy.
Situation about
okay.
her 10-year-old.
Right.
But it is therapeutic for me.
Okay,
because
I knew. It sounds very personal.
I need help.
You're perspiring over there.
It's hard. It's very hard.
Oh,
going to you, Paula.
To me?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm living for the city. You ready or you need
know,
a quick
yeah,
break?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. You know,
right,
something
you
I want to focus on, I just want to talk about this here for a minute. You know, I like watching, what's her name, Rachel Maddow on CNBC?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because
MSNBC.
MSNBC, right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she cuts it up, man. She cuts it up for real.
Oh, she give it to
and
you
it's,
straight.
And it's so unbelievable, all the stuff that is going on in the Trump administration that is so blatantly off the chain. And the thing that gets me most is the acceptance that this world is taking. Nobody's commenting. Nobody's complaining. Nobody is talking to, you know, just making, like the gentleman was put out, the one that was the first security advisor, the one that was making deals with Russia and Turkey.
Oh, yeah.
I forget his name.
I forgot.
They
got rid of
up.
Him.
Yeah, I didn't probably prepare for that particular situation. The one they got rid of, the one they fired. This man has so much stuff going on. I think that his crookedness really justifies the whole crooked level of what's going on. See, the thing about Trump is that, and I'm not speaking on Trump per se because he's an afterthought at this point in life, but when he got elected, he was surprised himself. So all he had to rely on, when you hand somebody a piece of paper and tell them that they have to fulfill 17,000 jobs, half of them are going to be people that hangs around them every day. So now this man is hiring white ring people, and I'm telling you, I have seen pictures and clips in the White House around a round table that had at least 45 older white men. I didn't see any color. I didn't see any females. I didn't see anything but white men. And then to go with these other people, and then the guy Sessions, which is so deep of history repeating itself because Coretta Scott King wrote a letter years ago for him to not be elected for a job years ago. And now this man surfaced under the Trump armpit. Trump has been holding so many white ring racist mofos underneath his, this was his life. And like I said, they're all billionaires, so they're all freaks. Freak Nick jokers that like to see this stuff come. Straight up. And I don't mean to say that to be facetious. I'm not saying that to be fresh. I'm not saying that to be anything else, but these guys are billionaires between him and the gentleman we talked about earlier that's laying all the people.
Tillerson.
Tillerson was running Mobil Exxon. Damn. How much more can you get when it comes to running a company that's making mad money? So everybody Trump was a friend with is now in business with him. The only one that's decent, in my opinion, is Pence. Pence is the only one I look at that seems like, I wouldn't say decent per se as far as whatever his views are, but he's the only one that looks like a politician. The rest of them are just slimy whatevers that just happen to be whatever. And the thing that gets me is that we, the intellectual world, is just sitting back and watching this go down. I mean, by the time the next president comes in the White House, oh my Lord, it's going to be like a slumber party was up in there. I mean, they have taken down every civil rights website. Anything that Michelle and Barack set up, they have taken it down. They are just like, now, how are you so anti-anything in the melting pot that we live in today? How can you be so anti-brown when the whole damn world is brown? I don't get it or understand it. Your money does not justify a difference in you. We are what the world projects. This is why Home Depot writes everything that you see in that store in Spanish and in English. Because they don't just give a damn about Americans. They give a damn about whoever's going to come in that store and spend money. And unless we understand that and realize it, and when you wake up every day as a billionaire, a right-wing billionaire that's constantly, I mean, hating black folks then got old, okay? Because we come in so many different colors and flavors and everything else that we possess that at this point we don't even give a damn. We have done so much with so little for so long that we now qualify to do anything with nothing. We are the great, you know, maneuvers. We're chameleons. We can do whatever we need to do. Just be quiet. We can just sit back and keep our mouth shut, and we can learn more with our eyes and our ears over and over and over again. And this is our battle cry. So look at this crap going on now. Then you got, what's his name, the guy from North Korea?
Oh, Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un. Now, he's doing his thing. Now, we all know that Russia, that Trump's in bed with Russia. We know that. Well, please, all that, nobody knows anything about what anybody's doing. But ain't nobody messing around with North Korea. And we don't know who's in bed with North Korea, whether China or whatever, because as the saying goes, there's no loyalty amongst thieves, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So watch when all this goes down, and if North Korea decides to set off a bomb or do something freaky or crazy, we're going to see just who's lying in bed with who. And it's going to be, and I hope it doesn't happen, because, you know, long life and longevity has its purpose. So we all need to live a long life. But right now, with all this going on, and Kim Jong-un is just shooting missiles off every day like he's got nothing else to do. And we're being led by an idiot. And it's just so sad. I mean, I talk to people every day, that even white folks, you know, I'm riding the train or whatever, and they just love Barack. I mean, when Barack was around, it was such a calm. Now we're talking, and Trump's on the news, yeah, I love law enforcement. Oh, we drop bombs. What, you know, Barack wasn't even into that kind of stuff. So it just goes to show that all this hype and all this violence and all this craziness is based on insecurity. You know what I mean? It's like a person having 3 inches of white steel between their legs, and they go out and get a big F-150 to take the place of their shortcomings between their thighs. Unbelievable. I mean, using that as a metaphor to think, why is Trump doing what he's doing? Because his insecurities are so high. You send people with a trophy wife who lives in New York. They don't even appreciate the White House. Are you kidding me? You know, you only appreciate a building that's been, that has a whole culture of years of just being, you know, Michelle and her children was loving it. And Melania saying, oh, no, this is drafty. I don't want to be here. Oh, hell no. And it's just so interesting how we are looking and dealing with all of this crap and seeing it every day and realizing it. And to me, I say just hold on to what you have. Hold on strong to what you have. Pay your mortgage. Pay your bills. Keep yourself above water. And just ride the wave for a while. And that's all I want to say tonight for Living for the City.
Okay.
Oh, I took that mic before you could drop it.
Oh, okay.
We're on a budget.
Can't drop no more mics, huh?
Can't drop any mics. We're on a budget.
All righty. You want to hit this weird news? Because I've been itching to tell you about
this. Yeah, what's going on?
This right here, I have the Father Gets Hooker surprise. Mm-mm. A California man who called the two prostitutes to come to his hotel room said he collapsed to the floor and had a panic attack when he saw it was his two daughters.
Say what?
Father of 10, Titus McDonald of L.A., said he was having marital problems and went to Las Vegas to blow off some steam. He said, I bet he did.
He didn't blow off something.
I have never gotten a prostitute in my life, he told the Las Vegas Weekly. I swear to Christ, what are the odds it was my own flesh and blood that showed up? I think this is was the Lord's way of bitch slapping me. That's what he said, his exact words. His daughters, who he hadn't seen in years, fled the room upon recognizing their father. Once McDonald's had recovered from the initial shock, he found his daughters ages 20 and 23 in the casino bar. They were probably guzzling down some brown liquor. What you think, Papa?
Wow.
He says, I told them I was sorry that what he had done, and he apologized for his actions and said, I just want my family whole again. My daughters and I have patched up our relationship. My marital problems are not over, but we have a wonderful counselor who is helping, you know, with the whole family. So he said, I used to just spank on them, McDonald said. I was too tough on them. I just wanted them to excel at ballet and get ballet scholarships so I wouldn't be on the hook for college tuition. But they didn't like ballet, and he said, I shouldn't have forced them on the ballet on them. So he claimed it was his fault. But anyway, McDonald said his daughters plan on continuing to prostitute themselves.
What?
He says if this is what makes them happy, who am I to stand in their way? From now on, I'm just going to love and support them.
So he's going to support them in their prostitution job.
Yeah.
And he thinks it's his fault because he tried to force them into ballet so that he wouldn't have to pay for college tuition?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, he definitely, oh, you know, all of them need some counsel. Well, I got one for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw this one, and this one actually had pictures to go with it.
Uh-oh.
If you all want to look it up and see this craziness.
Uh-oh.
But there was a story about an overexcited man that was barred from the World Naked Bike Ride in England.
What?
Now, rule number one is when you're taking part in a naked bike ride, you really need to try not to get too excited.
Uh-huh.
So one man who got overexcited was pulled aside and spoken to by the organizers at the start of the World Naked Bike Ride in Canterbury in England. And he was told, basically, we don't accept this kind of behavior. You can't ride in the naked bike ride if you're all excited like that.
What?
Because they said that's not what this race is about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what a naked bike ride race is about,
mm-hmm.
but apparently it's not about being overstimulated.
Okay.
So they yanked him out and told him, no, you can't be in the race. Go put your clothes on. Go home.
Wow. He might have had that little pink pill.
I don't know. I think he had a pink one, a blue one, a green one, and some more stuff. So the spokesperson for the race said, generally speaking, nudity in public is not an offense when there is no intention to cause harassment, alarm, or distress.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if you want to run around naked in public, as long as you're not trying to cause any harassment or alarm people or distress anybody,
mm-hmm.
if you're over there in Kent, England, it's okay.
Wow.
So the police didn't have any grounds to stop the event because nobody was harassing or alarming or distressing anybody.
Right.
But frankly, when I saw the picture, fortunately the picture was shot from the back,
mm-hmm.
but to see all these naked men on these bikes,
I
was distressed.
I'm not even
alarmed.
I'm not
and
even
it was
ask,
like, it was more than I needed to see.
I'm not even going to ask what color they were.
Fair one, you got 13.
No. I'm just saying. The organizers are saying it's a peaceful and imaginative and a fun protest
mm-hmm.
against oil dependency and the car culture.
Huh?
Exactly.
Now, we're talking bicycles?
They say
you can't, if you got a Woody, you can't ride.
You can't be in it.
Mm,
if you get too excited, they have to come tap you on the shoulder and say, excuse me.
And it's men
you
only.
You look a little too excited. You must exit the race.
Wait
we can't have that.
Men only?
These were all men.
They literally pulled.
Well, hopefully they didn't literally pull. Hopefully they just tapped him on the shoulder and said, there seems to be a bit of a problem.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to have to ask you to exit the race.
I guess he turned around and knocked him down.
So if you sit on a bicycle seat naked as a man,
uh-huh.
where do you put your stuff? What the fuck is that? Wait,
I would not know. I am not a man.
Oh, yeah, well,
I have never sat on a bicycle seat without my
saying.
Clothing.
Well, okay.
I don't know. But they were all on their bicycles in the photo.
Well, you know, a man has a front garnish,
uh-huh.
for lack of a better word.
You mean like parsley?
He has garnish in the front. So when
bay leaves?
When the seat bevels out like a banana seat on a bicycle,
uh-huh.
where does the garnish go is what I'm asking.
I guess it goes beside the other
right,
tray.
Right. it sounds very uncomfortable.
I don't know, but they do it every year. This
so,
is an annual event.
It's only one
it
man.
It seems like an erection would probably be a better deal because everything would be out of the way.
So only
yeah,
one man
is not allowed.
Taken from the room.
Only one person, unfortunately for him, got too excited and got pulled from the race.
Wow.
They said that this goes on in over 50 cities worldwide,
uh-huh.
and they're planning another one in the summer in Bristol.
Okay.
And there's another one in Colchester, July 11th.
No, thank
you. So if
you
want to participate, Papa Didi, get on over there to England.
Oh, July 11th.
July 11th. You can be in the naked bike race.
I'll call Southwest as we speak.
Oh,
okay.
Wow. Well, what you got over there, Papa?
I have a...
an armed gang in Germany? What's that about?
Yeah, what is that about, the armed gang thing?
Yeah, what is that about?
Let's see here.
Some weird news, some more weird news. Huh?
Yeah. You know I love weird news.
Police in Northeast Germany are race to what they thought was a 10-strong gang armed with knives and sticks over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But much to their surprise, officers instead found a group of asparagus pickers walking to their lunch break. Wait a minute.
With what, knives?
Why y'all have me read this stuff here? 4 squad cars of 2 undercover police vehicles were deployed after a concerned citizen near the city of Lawisku, Germany, reported that a group of 10 to 15 people armed with knives and sticks were walking along the rural road.
They just before noon on Saturday,
a police
spokesman said. They got knives and sticks. I'm afraid.
And when they came up on the people, they said they were carrying white asparagus, which is a cousin of the green variety in the United States, and it's very popular in Germany during May and June. And which they thought were the long knives, but all they had was just and the other was the pickles that they were carrying, and they were carrying pickles. I mean, it's just like in America when somebody says there's a black guy, yada, 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 sitting on the steps, I think he's dangerous. Somebody called these people, they thought they were carrying weapons, and they were carrying asparagus and pickles, and they were going to the park to have lunch.
Wow. And somehow that became a gang of thieves with weapons, sticks, and guns, and knives.
They pulled them like they pulled the guy from off the bike with the pickles.
They need to pull whoever called.
Yeah,
some
sure.
nosy neighbor and said, I'm scared.
Oh,
there's a gang of men with weapons.
That's funny. And that happened in Germany.
Happened in Germany.
I guess we need to stay out in foreign countries.
They
well,
drink a lot of beer.
Say,
in
everybody
Germany,
calls
don't
in bogus calls. They're all over the world.
Yeah. But they drink a lot of beer in Germany, don't they?
They do a lot of everything in Germany.
Okay. Maybe that was the issue.
Friday night at the pajama party. We're here. I'm Papa Didi, Emery Bukettle.
Hello.
And Red Wine.
Bonsoir, darling.
And this is what we do on Friday nights. Bring you the scoop on what's happening. All the crap that the networks don't tell you. Okay?
Mm-hmm. They tell you the truth.
We're going to keep it real, keep it live. Kettle, you want to give us the rundown on what's happening tonight?
Okay. All right. Right into it, huh, Papa?
Yeah, right into it.
Okay.
Let's go.
Let's go. I know that's right. How's everybody doing?
Excellent.
I'm good.
Excelente?
Excelente.
You
know
that Spanish?
Oh, yes, I do remember that.
Just put day at the everything. So he does English.
Mm-hmm.
As we say in Paris, bonbon.
Bonbon?
Oh,
bonbon.
That's what you heard. Right?
Okay.
What's popping?
So what you got for us tonight, Papa D?
I tell you what. For some reason, that word's been in my head lately. The werewolfithal. What is it called?
Wherewithal.
The werewolfithal. He had an herb that had the werewolfithal to. Who thought of that word? And what does that word mean?
I don't know. The capability of.
Yeah, the capability of, yeah. The werewolfithal.
All right.
Anyway, last Wednesday, very interesting day. You know, sometimes, as my man Joe Madison says, when you see with the third eye and hear with the third ear, you kind of see some little keen things in the world that people do, but it's almost a trip because it's like, couldn't you have done more? You know, for example, ESPN, which is the sports authority on TV, where all the sports are, everything from soup to nuts when it comes to soup is concerned. When it comes to sports is concerned. Anyway, last Wednesday they had a crackdown where they got rid of 100 people, like almost on the spot.
Mm.
And these were people of all different aspects. I mean, control room workers, camera people. And they also got rid of some people behind it, some people that were celebrities, you know. Celebrities in the own right, as far as celebrities in the sports right. A guy named Trent Dilfer. He was a football analyst. He used to be the quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens when they won the Super Bowl back in 2000 with Ray Lewis. when he got his first Super Bowl. His last Super Bowl was before he retired when they played the San Francisco 49ers a few years ago in New Orleans. That was his last game. But anyway, they got rid of him and a whole bunch of people. But not so much of the people that were ex-ball players, but the little people there. But what got me was that before everybody's show, where all these people have shows of millionaires, you have an array of shows on the NFL Live, you have the one with Poppy and the other gentleman.
Highly Questionable.
Yeah, if she read one, she knows the deal. Highly Questionable. You have Party Interruption. All these different shows that come on in their own particular sequence of, you know, and they're all over for an hour, too, so they're making plenty of money. But I think that some of the people who have these shows, Mike and Mike's show, that Wednesday, they all felt they had an obligation to say that before I start my show, I want to talk about, you know, the people from ESPN that was laid off today. We're laying off a bunch of people from ESPN today. And a lot of them were good friends of ours, and people worked behind the scenes, and were good people, and their families, with a lot of tears, and a lot of blah, 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 blah. And every show that came on that day, they did a preempt by talking about the people that were let go from ESPN. Now, mind you, the people that run these shows on ESPN, these jokers are making $10, $12, $14 million a year. And I'm saying to myself, if all you greedy bastards that are talking about what happened to these people that got laid off from ESPN would have broke them off some money from your paycheck, went to the boss and said, well, you know, instead of me making $15 million, you can cut me back to $13.5 million. You know what I mean? What's $1 million between friends? I mean, really. When you become a millionaire, who knows the difference?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? A happy ending is a happy ending. Who knows the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Who does it? Usually when you have a happy ending, your eyes are closed. You don't know who did it. Man, woman, beast, whatever. Okay, as long as you, you know, as long as you have your happy ending, it doesn't matter. But not to get off the beaten path, very serious subject. I just think that when it comes to money, a lot of people aren't stepping up their game. You know, the incident where I won't name anything because Kettle might have it in one of her stories, where one of these Hollywood people had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And one of her co-workers, one of their co-actors, during a very different time in their life, just showed up finally, well, not finally, but showed up at her home of world thing, went by the house and was talking and stuff like that. Now, come to find out that the person that died, even though they died of a medical situation at an early age, they were living in a trailer park. They were broke. But then one of their co-actors from years ago comes by the trailer or by their house or wherever they had their little repast or what have you, and this person is a gazillionaire. So why does this person die broke when the person that was working with you in Hollywood, when both of y'all were coming up and you did good and that person didn't do too good, but that person is known to have associated with you during a large time frame of your Hollywood career, you're worth $150 million, and this person died broke in a trailer park. But you show up the day of her death and get on the news and say, oh, yeah, well, she was a great girl. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But you sit there with $100 million in your damn pocket, and you couldn't help your co-actor with a few dollars. You're worth $100 million. Damn. Damn. You think if you break off a little bit of that $100 million, it's going to really make a difference? Is it really going to make a difference? I don't think so. Because at $100 million, your money's making money, you know? And to be concerned about, you know, I just don't understand how people show up to their friends, you know, funerals and things like that, and they talk about, yeah, well, you guys acted years ago together, but yes, and I love this. She's a great friend, and she died dead balls broke, and you sitting there worth $150 million. But you're there that day she died. So where were you while she needed some money? You got $100 million, damn. And I just say that because $100 million is a lot of money. I think if I ever hit the lottery for that kind of money, everybody around my ass will be rich. because ain't none of you jokers going to be poor around me because I got money now. So if you're going to hang with me, you're going to have money too. Money is not going to be an issue for us. It ain't going to change anything else in our lives, but money is not going to be an issue. And I'm sure a lot of these stars tell their children that, Will Smith and Beyonce and all of them say, look, we got problems, but money is not one of them. You know? So I'm just saying, just to wrap up this, what's popping tonight in this situation, you'll see a lot of people today that show up in the, especially on these different shows, Entertainment Tonight and all this other stuff where they interview people that knew people at that time, whether it be a band member or whatever. Yeah, he was a drummer of our band on some of our greatest records. Then why did he die broke ass broke? And you rich as hell. You know, so it's just, I don't know. People just need to kind of share the wealth a little bit, you know. But anyway, if you want to just go and look at your computer every day and look at your damn $100 million dance around the damn computer screen, then so be it. Anyway, that's all I got for what's popping tonight.
Okay.
I think sometimes people think they've been blessed to be greedy, and that's not what it was.
Well, I mean, like Papa said earlier, that's why a lot of these people that have money, they haven't kids. They have somebody leave it to.
Yeah, that's true, because you sure can't take it with you.
Or they're adopting kids, or however they're doing it, they're having kids, some form or fashion.
Yeah, or they leave it all to the cat sanctuary or something.
Yeah,
something like that.
They've done that.
Leave it to the church, leave it to the cat.
Yeah.
Give it to the whales, whatever.
Free the whales.
Yeah, free Willie.
Now, let me ask y'all a question on this. What if you knew that you didn't deposit $1,500 in your account? What would you do? If you saw $1,500 in your account and you knew that that money was not yours, what would you do?
After I paid the mortgage, you mean?
We know what you would do.
What about I think you? I would probably call the bank and just say, I was checking my balance and it doesn't seem to be quite right.
Okay.
You take a look.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would tell them straight up. I see money that doesn't belong to me.
Right.
I would just say that I couldn't reconcile my balance. Could you check?
Okay. But you know, there was an actual case about that. A lady, the numbers were like off one number, and they put like, I'm just going to put a number out there. I'm not sure how much it was, like $100,000 in this woman's account.
Uh-huh.
And she was using the money.
Oh, boy.
And so when it came time for, you know, they found it maybe a week or two later, she's like, what money are you talking about? You didn't touch me on my shoulder, shit.
And nobody told me
anything. So girlfriend got a lawyer, and she won the case. Because it was the bank's mistake. They put the money in her account. She's going about her daily business. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I guess you could say, you know, hey, I didn't go and check my balance. I just was spending money that my account said I had.
That's right.
I don't know where it came from.
And she
said, it's just my week. I opened up a text message from my phone, and Verizon said they're going to give me free HBO for a month. I just thought I was just on that same trend. I say that because Verizon's giving me HBO.
Oh, okay. Oh,
at no charge.
Oh, okay.
And,
good for you then.
Yeah,
huh?
Thank you.
Okay, but yeah, that's interesting. I mean, you know, you don't know what you're going to do until you put in that situation sometimes. People always going to say,
I know what I would
do.
If I see it, I would just like go ahead and do what I got to do. And I would spend it so fast that that the amount that I had in the bank would be back in that bank so fast. If I had $34, I spend everything fast as hell and leave $34 in there.
Right.
That way the it won't be so maladjusted.
Yeah,
I can't.
Be scared.
Because
I'd be thinking, as soon as I spend it, then they're going to realize the error and try to transfer it back out of my account.
Okay.
And then I'm going to be in the red. All my account will be all messed up.
Well, I'm neutral.
Red wine, I tell you. Girl.
I'm neutral. If it's $100,000. I'm taking the first plane to you know where, and I'm going to be sipping some cocktails on the beach.
Welcome back to the Pajama Party. I'm one of the hosts, Papa Didi. I'm here with Kettle.
Hello.
And,
all right.
Okay.
Well,
what do we have on the list this week?
I'm just talking stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay.
Keep talking. Keep talking.
On the kitchen list, we got the representative Chris Collins, Republican out of New York, was saying that he hadn't read the American Health Care Act and that he voted for it. but that his staff, that's why you have a staff. My staff will read it. That's what they do for me. I have a staff.
Right.
Now, this man's all, in all kinds of committees when they're down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's, every committee you can get on. Mm-hmm. But some people don't qualify for that particular community because
right.
It could be bougie, it could be whatever, you know.
That's a mess. Mm. But he voted for something without even reading it, talking about my staff briefed me on what was in it. Okay.
In time, I guess.
Who else we got on the list this week?
We have the Health Care Act that he voted for, getting back to the gentleman here. He voted for it, and he said that he hadn't even looked at anything. And that this reminds me of a time where I don't even remember where it's around because I wouldn't be that damn reckless. Really? I'm not going to compare myself to you. Are you kidding me? Chris Collins, remember your midterm elections? Vote him out.
Okay.
All right. Delta for throwing the family off a flight to take their seats.
The whole family.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Sure is.
My piece, the House of Representatives for passing a health bill that wasn't executed as far as pre-existing things. They're going to look, once they look in there and see what kind of money it says hold in, they'll be fine with it. But I don't think, you want something you can also hang your hat on, you know? In the middle of your, he's just, I don't know. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So anyway, Delta, we said Delta, excuse me. Mm-hmm. House representatives passed a health bill that excluded so many pre-existing conditions and signed a plan that is doomed to fail.
Let me just say this. They consider pregnancy a pre-existing condition.
Yeah.
So they want to exclude pregnancy as something that you can't be covered under the plan because that's a pre-existing condition.
Well, you know.
First of all, you're not pregnant forever.
Well, you know.
At the most, it's what, 9 to 10 months? Come on now.
You know, first of all, you have to consider the source, okay? If Donald Trump has a cabinet and people and friends that are all in their 70s, all horny fish as they are. And they all make decisions that they're, now you make them, they're not really making decisions, but they're all stuck in their ways,
mm-hmm.
You know?
That's crazy. So, what's your point, Papa? I'm missing something. So, what's your point? They just...
My point is that I love my father with all my heart, but I don't want him to be no damn congressman, senator, or president, because... He has some ways about him that may not ever change.
Mm-hmm.
And we get presented with things for these people based on their age and their stamina and what they represent and free money. And they go off for 2 weeks right after that situation. They're off for 2 weeks now in the Congress with plenty of money. They don't have to worry about no health plan. Please, they probably got Blue Cross and Blue Seal executive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Crazy.
I mean, they had things like multiple sclerosis, sickle cell anemia, pregnancy, I think depression, and it was a long list of stuff.
So that's not included in...
It's excluded.
It's excluded. Guys.
Right. Mm-hmm. So anyway, who else you got? I got one if you're done with your list. I have that officer that killed that 15-year-old black male.
Yeah.
I think his name was Ray Oliver. It was either Ray or Roy.
Oliver, yeah.
One of those. I want him on the kiss it list.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that burned his house down trying to get rid of the pup.
Okay, yeah.
That was real silly. He needs to be on the kiss it list.
I agree.
And of course, Donald Trump.
Roger Goodell.
Spicer.
Kraft.
Mm-hmm. Who else?
The folks that said the N-word at the stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Here at
the Boston baseball stadium.
Right. Whoever's just saying the N-word, go sit the hell down or something.
Exactly.
What did y'all need to do?
Is that everybody for this week?
That's everybody. Well,
I got one more for the folks up there at New York Penn Station. Mm. You want to put that foul smell out there?
Yeah. Whoever didn't catch that leak and got sewage running all over the station, shame on you.
You know what? I'm sorry, but I might put Beyonce on the list.
$300
for a box of lemonade? No. $300
for a box set? Yeah, that's a lot.
Box of lemonade.
She got a lot of money.
Yeah, and she's about to get a whole lot more selling stuff like this.
And I'm sorry. I like Janet, but Janet might be going into it.
Uh-oh.
Come on, man.
Okay.
What she was getting into when she got there.
When she said I do?
Yep. Come on,
okay.
Janet. Come on, Janet.
Well, did we get Macy's?
Red Star, yep.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, well, that's the Kiss It list for this week. That's all the contenders.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a special prize for all the contenders on the Kiss It list. And here
kiss
it is.
Kiss my entire ass.
Kiss my Irish ass. You better kiss my Irish ass.
This world, kiss my ass.
Kiss my ass.
Welcome back to the Pajama Party. That was the Kiss It List. Featuring Red Wine. Permanent fixture every week.
Don't even try.
Mm-hmm.
You know your place is etched in stone, so don't even try it. All right, well, let's get ready for the last word, and we're going to close it out for the night.
Mm-hmm.
Papa, you want to go first?
Sure, I'll go. My last word is don't have a case of sleep deprivation. Try to get sleep when you can. Whenever you can. Don't worry about the 10 to 15 minute nap. Get what you can. Stay away from long sleeves so, you know, you can sleep easier. But if you need some long sleeves to sleep in, put off the air conditioning. But,
very interesting.
Yeah. Beatnik. Now snap your fingers.
Okay. Snap. All right. Well, my last word is thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us this week. I guess I just want to say to people who have misdirected anger, check your anger and figure out who is the real culprit of the problem. That's who you need to be angry with. Be pissed off at that person. Sometimes it's not always the name that you hear up front. It's other folk that's behind it, pushing the issue or the item. So, you know, check your anger and make sure it's directed in the right place. Shout out to all the muskrats up in Northeast D.C. Shout out to Aunt Lala, the illicit movie crew, and who else? D.C. Homegirl.
All right, pay the bill.
Our parent company.
Right.
And I'm going to turn it over to you, Kim.
My last word, thanks for the old listeners, new listeners, and future listeners. And I know everybody was out there hanging out Cinco de Mayo. Trick responsibly and be safe getting home. We don't want to hear too much on the news the next day. I really don't want to hear nothing, no accidents, anything like that, but just be safe, be responsible. Also, everybody has to realize that God is always in charge, always. He showed me that today. So also family is so important. So if you haven't talked to a loved one in a long time, just pick up the phone and say, just say hi. How you doing? What can I do for you?
Absolutely.
So, that's my last word.
Shout out to our boy Squiggy.
All right. All right now.
Mm-hmm. Is that everybody?
I think so.
All right. Well, then say goodnight, Papa. We're done.
Good night, everybody. Be safe. Take the time to tell people you love them, care for them.
This is Red Wine saying bonsoir. And if you do get stopped, don't say your name is Hillary Clinton.
I know, that's right.
Right. Say goodnight, Kim.
All right, goodnight.
Say Michelle Obama.
Okay.
See you next week.
All right.
We're out.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I bid you farewell, arrivederci, sayonara, and all that sort of cheers.
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
Well, good night.
Yabiko. Sana.
I regret
to announce this is the end. I'm going now.
Good night, and good luck.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Now give me a kiss and say good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Goodbye now. Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you for attending our show, and good night.
Put some on a party, growing up day, growing up day. Put some on a party, party cool people will be you.